Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him. He's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
Oh, hey.
We're back.
Good to see y'all. Thanks for hanging out, downloading the show. Or streaming it.
What?
Or streaming it, if you like, from NateDarlingShow.com or Spotify. We're on Spotify now.
Boom.
That's some news for everybody.
Yeah, we're moving on up.
If you're unaware, you can search for The Nate Darling Show on Spotify and stream it right from your desk at work with your earphones in, I would suggest.
Most likely, yes. NSFW.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah, we can't guarantee that we're going to be clean all the way through this show.
Yeah,
so
there might be some anal.
Sure.
Tell it what I'll say.
That's right. We got a lot to get to. Well, there is no telling what Kareem will say. Let's, before we get into all of what we're going to say, let's... What?
Jason, I just read your shirt.
Oh, it's a Christmas gift.
Yeah, it's great.
It was a Christmas gift.
It says, it's for everybody, it's a blue shirt, and it has two mugs of like, frothy beer, like the Steins, like what you would see at Oktoberfest, and it says, Nate's Beer Removal Service. Domestics and imports welcome.
Mm-hmm. It also says...
Oh, cans, mugs, beer, pitchers, and kegs.
It's true. Yep. I will add bottles as well. Although I will say this, I have been doing Whole 30 for 2 weeks, and I have not had a drop of alcohol of any kind.
Well, how do you do?
Go ahead with your bad self.
Or a carb.
That is.
Or really any sugar.
Okay.
There were a couple. I went out a couple of times, and I ended up, I had a get together Friday at Chicago Fire with some peeps.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So I got some wings.
Yeah.
So not exactly right on, and we went to...
But there's worse things you can eat.
Right. And we went to Flaming Grill a little earlier tonight, and I got...
Oh, what'd you get?
I got a pastrami burger.
What?
With some bacon. And there was a slice of cheese, and the cheese is not on... The cheese is not on the deal. So that's the only dairy I've had in 2 weeks is that one slice of cheese.
Nice.
Down 11 and a half pounds.
What?
In 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, the more you got, the more you can lose.
Holy shit.
It was necessary. It was necessary.
I need to do this diet.
You know, Leslie is doing... Not this diet. She's doing something different where she eats a little something every 3 hours.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And she's having success with that. So no matter what you want to do, there's a ton of things you can do if you're looking to diet and drop a few pounds or feel better or whatever. Mm. You just have to pick what you can do long term.
I see.
She has a real problem giving up dairy because she can't have coffee without cream in it, and she's tried the other stuff. It doesn't work. So when she tried to do a Whole 30 before, you lose the dairy, you lose the caffeine, you lose the carbs. You're talking about a lady. That's a lot to ask for most women.
We don't want nothing bad to happen to you.
So she's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing, but we're both very mindful of how we're doing it and what we've got going on going forward.
I like to do a coffee diet where I can, like, all I can do is drink coffee.
And, well, you'll spend a lot of time in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You'll be
running.
And running, and running, and running, running. So the last couple of weeks we were away, I had a leaky roof.
Holy shit.
Had a leaky roof, and... So the room where the cats live was leaky, and we literally had to cut a big old swath of sheetrock out of the ceiling. It's still open.
All right.
It's still open in the room where they are.
Yeah.
And when we opened it up and pulled the wet insulation out, we found some mold.
Oh, of course you did.
So I had to do mold treatments in there and make sure we knocked the mold out and dried it out. And then we waited to see if the patching we did on the roof kept it from leaking the next rainstorm. And it sort of did. I mean, it was better.
But it still wasn't fixed.
It wasn't completely fixed. So we went back up and did it again.
Right.
And then it rained a little bit more. So Super Bowl Sunday morning, I was on the roof again with my father-in-law.
Nice.
Throwing down some wet patch, sealing that up. And there was a little bit of water, but that might have been there from before.
Yeah.
So we don't really know because the part of the roof is flat. So we had to wait to get everything out. The ceiling is dry now. When it rains this weekend, we'll find out, did we get the leak?
Did you leave plastic up?
Oh, no, we patched it with wet seal.
No, I mean over the hole where the drywall is missing.
No. Oh, okay. No, it's open to the rafters.
Okay.
It's open to the rafters, my friend. So the cats spent the better part of a week in the office here.
Oh, okay.
And there is not enough room for the cat's furniture, the cats, and the podcast.
Yeah.
So that was one of the reasons why we were off for a week. Plus, Kareem had strep.
Yes.
And Jason had a sick daughter.
Yeah, then she got me sick, of course.
Right. So all of those things happened, and then we had someone who had to come and spend a night with us because of a family situation before we put the cats back in there, and that happened to be last Tuesday.
Ah.
So it's just that's why we've been gone for a few weeks.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I've launched a new podcast because what else would I do? It's called the Morning Crunchwrap Podcast. It is also on Spotify. It is on Apple Podcasts. It should be on Google Play at this point.
Boom.
And if you are a subscriber to this show, you've been getting it because I've been putting it in that feed for the first week or so anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to keep that up for the next few weeks just to get people used to it.
Get people used to it.
If you have not listened to it yet, it is a daily Monday through Friday show. It's about 5 to 10 minutes where I pick out whatever news story, could be an entertainment story or a sports story that caught my eye as I was having my coffee. And take about 5 to 10 minutes to tell what the story is and then sort of break it down, you know, crunch it and then wrap it.
Crunch it, wrap it.
So we crunch wrap it.
Crunch wrap it.
So that's available every Monday through Friday.
Boom.
Hit that up. And while I'm telling you all that, that's more content. Please, if you're going to be doing your shopping on Amazon, hit that Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. And also, if you want to do some Target shopping, the Shop Target tab at NateDarlingShow.com or any of the Target banners.
Why aren't you doing it?
Do it.
Remember, you can go straight to the store and pick it up.
Mm-hmm. You can order it online, walk into the store, and pick up your order. You don't have to wander Target and spend a bunch of extra money because, ooh, look at that. It's on sale. So if you're thinking, maybe I don't want to spend an extra $40 on my trip to Target, that's the easy way to do it. So please go ahead and do that. All right, gentlemen, what's been going on? Kareem, I know you've been at several games of our beloved hometown Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento Kings are balling out of control. Went to the Spurs game last night.
Mm-hmm, Monday.
The Duke duo had a great game. Marvin Bagley Jr. and Harry Giles.
Third.
Oh, that's right. Marvin Bagley the third and they're Harry Giles the third.
They're all the third on that on the team.
Yeah. So he had Bagley actually ended up Sports Center top play on a 360 lob that he caught last night.
It was true. So here's the fun thing about that. Everybody's calling it a three. It's really only a 180.
Yeah.
Because he caught it with his back to the basket and then spun 180. Amazing play.
Yeah. And when I posted it, I said 180. And
yeah.
It was like, okay, everybody's calling it a 360. It's like a 180. So that was a great game. Then they beat the Sixers on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
The referee, as bad as we talk about NFL officiating, the NBA officiating is the worst shit ever.
It's funny. I've been to a few games the past couple of years, and I get the same thing.
Every time in the Sixers game, they tried to bring the Sixers back. they call 2 4-point plays for people that don't know what it is. That's when you get a 3-pointer and they call a foul and the guy gets another free throw shot. So they called two of those for Jimmy Butler. One of those, Embiid had set a screen for him and Justin Jackson didn't even get around the screen, but they called a foul. Didn't work. King still shot him out, but he, you know, was able to keep him ahead in the game. And then last night, they started doing the same crap with the Spurs. They called a couple of fouls for LaMarcus Aldridge and you're like, and you know, they showed the video back on the screen and we're like, what the fuck are you calling?
And if you've never been in the Golden 1 Center, the screen is enormous.
Yeah.
It's like watching the game at home on your TV if you've got like a 60-inch TV.
Yes.
From any seat in the house.
Any seat.
Yeah. So, but again, every time the referees would get the Spurs back in the game, the Kings would pull away. Actually, every time Bagley and Giles got on the floor, the Kings were able to get the lead back. So I've been to a couple of games. Me and my girlfriend went to Napa, to the Blue Note in Napa to celebrate our anniversary. We went to see Cassandra Wilson, which was actually our first official date about 15 years ago.
Wow. Congratulations, by the way.
Yes. Thank you. And the best part of that was we got to meet Cassandra Wilson. and Cassandra Wilson is my favorite singer that's alive. Since Prince died. But Cassandra Wilson is my favorite singer. And so,
then Adam Levine?
No. No. I haven't liked Maroon 5 since the first album. Songs About Jane?
I don't know the names of their albums, Graham. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so the first album, I loved the first album. I haven't liked them since they decided that they didn't want to be that group. But yeah, so we got to meet Cassandra Wilson. We went upstairs to her dressing room and spoke to her. Her tour manager now has my photography business card. Not that I offered to him. He asked for it. So that was like the most amazing thing. And my girlfriend still hasn't figured out how I did it. But that's what happens when you hang out with me. You meet famous people. I don't know how it happened either, but we're going to leave it there.
There you go.
So it's been a great couple of weeks. And then, I showed you guys the picture for the project. I've been trying out new things, ways to display the photographs. So I think we're going to go with metal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's been my last couple of weeks.
Nice. Ooh. Jason, what you been up to?
Man, I've been up to everything.
No good?
No.
Started making trouble in the neighborhood?
And then a couple guys that were up no good. Yeah. I've just been, being a dad, basically. kid was sick. Had a double ear infection, like nuts.
You did or she did?
She did.
Okay.
She did. She had an ear infection each ear, and she never, that's like the second time she's ever had an ear infection. So that was tough. Dealing with a sick kid, like, is tough when they're like that, because, like, she was sleeping with us, and that meant she was kicking us all night, so I got, like, no sleep for, like, a week. And then I got sick because, of course, I mean, she coughs and, like, in my mouth, like, on a daily basis multiple times.
And you've got no sleep.
Yeah, and I've had no sleep. So I had to get over being sick. And what else? And then, like, last weekend, I don't want to say accidentally invited, my family over for Super Bowl. But it's kind of what happened. So Chris's parents are with us right now.
Okay.
So they're with us until the 19th, which is awesome. Like, they got here.
Weren't they just here?
They were here. What, it was October. They were here, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, but listen, where do they live?
Where it snows 8 feet. So, polar vortex.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is great. And not only that, like, when they're here, like, I haven't had to change a diaper for like a week. You know, I mean, it's like a vacation.
Were they excited when they found out that it snowed like 40 minutes from here?
I mean, like, they think it's a, like, anything that's like, the, anything that's like above like 30, degrees Fahrenheit is like warm. Like,
sure, sure. But this morning it snowed in Placerville.
Yeah, they don't. It didn't snow here.
No, it did not.
And Auburn.
It's yeah. Like, they don't care. I mean, like, but they don't care. Like, it's not snowing here. And it's definitely not cold necessarily.
Still have never had the urge to drive to the snow.
No, that was not.
I'm over it.
I did not even mention it to them, you know, because they watch what they say is like the worst news show. And like, they don't understand why Sacramento's news is so bad. And I said, you're watching Good Day Sacramento. That's not news.
Did they watch for the announcement that changed the face of Good Day forever?
Oh, man. I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there.
One of their anchors is leaving.
Oh, really?
She's been there a long time.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. She's been there for 500 years.
Marianne McCleary.
Oh, I saw there. She was doing like a thing about like her career there. And I figured that must be what it was.
She is. But don't worry. She's going to be around until like the 22nd.
So they've been here. My cousin had mentioned something about doing Super Bowl at his house in Oakdale. And I knew that I was going to have my in-laws here. Right. And I was like, so we're not going anywhere. We're definitely not driving an hour and a half to go to the Super Bowl. And, I said, hey, like, he invited my brother also, like, the family. And I was like, hey, if that doesn't work out, like, if your thing doesn't work out with your friends coming out to hang out for Super Bowl, you know, everybody's invited to my place.
That's not accident.
Yeah. No, I know. But I didn't, I guess it's like, I then also said I'd
you
make
think
ribs.
Nobody was going to take you up on it?
It's one of those things where it's like, I was hoping it would happen. It was neat that it happened, but, I've decided to have extremely low expectations for a lot of things in my life. So I try not to get too crazy excited about it. And I got myself I don't think over my head, but, I cooked 5 racks of ribs.
In
the smoker. And I cooked,
what really happened was he wanted to show off the smoker.
I did want to try cooking. I wanted to see what I could do, like how much food I could cook in like the largest amount. And it didn't turn out to be the best barbecue that I've done so far. But everybody said that it was really great and that it would be not like if they got that at a restaurant. They would be fine with it and happy with it. I just didn't get like the bark that they talk about, you know, on the outside of it. And then just because I didn't pay attention to detail and I stuffed it so full.
So they would have been satisfied at a chain barbecue restaurant.
Right.
With that, but not if they'd gone to a high end.
Right. I would assume.
Not high end barbecue.
Yeah.
So it's okay for Dickies, but not for Sauce.
Right. And Dickies is great. Like it's great for
expensive
food.
Yeah, it's fine.
That's exactly what it was like. It was like Dickies, but it was not what I would expect if I went to like a really, like a barbecue place.
A place that brags about they make their own sauce.
Yeah.
One of those places.
Yeah. And I make my own rub, you know, I mean,
yeah, you do.
it turned out, the chicken turned out divine. Like that was amazing as always. But the ribs were just all like crunched together. So they didn't get to get the nice, and I didn't rub it well enough, but
that's what she said.
That's what she always said. That's what I did.
Jeannie's still in the bottle.
But I know now that like also how much food 5 racks of ribs feeds.
Sure.
Like we had 13 people. And I also saw what it was like to have 13 people in the house when it was raining.
Yeah. No escape.
Yeah. And like, and that's important to know because we're doing Thanksgiving most likely at our house. And I need, like,
And there's going to be another high chair.
Right, exactly. It's going to be nuts. So I just want to make sure that I'm
Can 13 people fit in your house?
What's that? Can 13?
We were there when there were like 20.
You were there like there was like 28, I think, that day. Yeah, like for that
there were
party.
A lot of people there.
But there's the outside also. That's the thing. It's like if the outside is open also, then it's a lot easier.
Sure.
And also everybody's sitting looking at a TV.
Mm-hmm.
So it's half the room in the... Half the space. Anyhow. So yeah, that's what I did. That's what I've...
Nice.
Been doing.
All right. Well, I'm not going to talk about the Super Bowl because you've been bored by that enough.
Yes. Worst ever.
So we're just going to roll into Black History Month. Hello, Black History Month. We celebrate Black History all year, but particularly this month. How are some people doing it? Well, in a word, blackface. So if you haven't heard, the governor of Virginia had a photo pop up from his medical school yearbook. on his page, there's a couple photos of him, and then there's another photo of two gentlemen. One's in blackface, and the other one's wearing a KKK hood. And he didn't deny it to begin with. And then he came back and did, because he went and looked at it, and he said, oh, yeah, that's not me. But there was this other time I dressed up as Michael Jackson. Because I was good at moonwalking.
I think you would remember if you ever dressed up.
Well, he knew he'd done it once.
In blackface.
He'd done it as Michael Jackson, and he was just double checking.
I think he was the guy in the KKK robe.
I can't rule it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
So, basically every Democrat holding office across the land has called on him to resign. He's saying no. And CNN went out to ask people how they feel about their governor's racist photo crisis. Now, James Lunsford said he voted for Democratic Governor Ralph Northam based on the man he thought he was, but since a decades-old racist photograph on the medical school yearbook page surfaced, Lunsford's having second thoughts.
Oh, and they had to close down the yearbook at that particular college in 2013 because of racist shit that they were posting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's an ongoing thing.
Yes.
It's tradition.
Yeah.
Lunsford's an 82-year-old Richmond resident, said he was shocked, disappointed, and horrified when he saw a photo of a man in blackface and another man in a KKK garb on the governor's page in his 1984 yearbook. But Lunsford said he was willing to give Northam a chance. Said, we're a forgiving people. By the way, Lunsford is black. Said, I think we should forgive him as far as politics is concerned. I don't know whether he should resign or not.
Gotta go, gotta go.
Moselle Miller, who's African-American as well, said he made a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes in life. Just as long as you don't make any more like that. Miller went on to add, if people were offended by everything in this world, there'd be no existence. She was willing to let it slide, but said not everyone would let it go. She added, he should be allowed to stay in office as long as he can do his job and just do right by everybody.
No, he needs to go. Gotta go, gotta go.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know how that ends up on your yearbook. And
I just don't know how you don't know whether you did that or not.
Maybe he was drunk.
It was the 3rd of September. You wasn't drunk when you got dressed like that. That was a plan.
Yeah, that was a plan.
That was a plan.
You didn't get drunk one night and then decide to make yourself KKK outfit and then put it on that same night because you were drunk and then go to a party.
Yes. No, that's what you planned to go to the party dressed as.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I understand. But no, that was a plan. You know whether you plan to do that or not.
Yeah, you know whether or not. The thing is he doesn't want to. He didn't want to be like.
He doesn't want people to know that he was the KKK.
Yeah, he doesn't want to know people he has an outfit. He doesn't want people to know he has the outfit.
Yeah.
He's like.
So here's the question. This happened 35 years ago at this point. If he has done nothing since then that is racist, should we continue to judge him for that?
If he had came out the first day and said, I did that. I apologize. It was wrong. If he had came out and made a sincere apology, owned up to it, and then maybe we could talk about that. But the fact that you come out, you apologize, you half as apologized in the first place, but then you come out the next day and pull the Eddie Murphy Shaggy, it wasn't me. All bets are off now. I don't, are we gonna talk about Liam Neeson at all?
Oh, we will.
Okay. So yeah, when we talk about that, I have a different opinion on that one. But like, if this cat had done that, then we could say yeah. But the fact that you're still waffling. But
there wasn't a definite like that. There either has to be a definite, I know for a fact that was not me, and it's not me.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry that this was something that was happening at my school, but that's not me. And yeah. I don't know how that picture got there. That's one right way to answer the question. The other one is, I thought it was a funny joke. I didn't realize how hurtful this was, and I have since learned, and I would never do that. And I hope that I make sure that doesn't happen anymore. Like, right? Like,
yeah.
He hasn't done anything to seem like he hasn't really taken responsibility for it in any way, really.
You know what's really funny, though? Did you see his little press conference?
Yeah, I saw his little press conference.
Where the reporter, because he mentioned Michael Jackson and he was good at moonwalking, and one of the reporters just on a dime said, Governor, can you still moonwalk?
Could you
moonwalk for us? And he looks around like he's looking to see if there's space, and his wife puts her hand on his shoulder and says, not appropriate this time.
Yes. He was going to do it. He was getting ready to do it.
So
that's how out of touch he is the fact that he was sitting there, he was trying to figure out how,
what if he came out though and he did like a perfect moonwalk and did the twirl and the tiptoes? What if he would have come out and did something like that?
He was going to do it. It wasn't a whether I can or can't do it or whether it's even appropriate. He was trying to figure out how to do it. So no, you need to step down. You need to get out of the way. And the fact that he's fighting it like he is with everything that we have at stake at this point tells me that you're a selfish asshole who isn't self-aware enough to be in the position.
It's true, because he could own up to it and go, you know what, apologize. I'm going to step down, and then he could have his Phoenix Rising story later.
Yeah, but the fact that you're stretching it out at this point, fuck him.
I think one of the bigger issues that I saw someone point out on Twitter was, this was a medical school.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have a book called Medical Apartheid, which talks about all the bullshit that's been done to black people hospitals, pharmacies, just all this crazy shit that happens that you just don't think is unthinkable. And then, you know, there are other people to talk about the disparity of the way black people are treated by doctors.
Right.
And then you understand how this shit happens.
In a medical school yearbook.
In a medical school yearbook.
Like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would be totally a rip shit.
Yeah, because you know that, and there were like four other people in the yearbook in blackface.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I wouldn't doubt. I mean, like it's.
I mean, seriously, yeah. There were like four other people in the yearbook in blackface. So those people went on to treat black people.
Right. But
would you say though, like at the same time, I mean, like there's a movie called Soul Man. Came out in like 1987, like right, it was 86 or 87, like when did that movie go? I mean like there's also like, I'm not saying it's right anyway, but I mean it was, I mean there was a pervasiveness of like how ridiculous, like how openly racist it was, you know what yeah. I mean, like I mean it, and it was no, but it was so normalized, right? And it was like nobody was speaking out about it, none of the black people in Hollywood really were, you know, like doing anything.
Who, Bill Cosby?
He was like the only one.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I guess that's what I'm saying. It wasn't really pointed out until like the 90s, like, you know, like
Well, that's when we had made enough money where we could actually say something.
That's when Denzel became a thing.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, too.
It's all Denzel.
It's all Denzel.
Not even gonna gloss over that.
Spike Lee hit in the 90s, and that was...
I was gonna say Spike Lee, yeah.
Spike Lee and Denzel hit in the 90s, and that was that.
Oh, man, I'm so glad that I grew up when I did.
But she didn't have...
Now, a lot of people are bringing up, of course, Robert Downey Jr. in Tropic Thunder.
And people said shit about that, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I think that there was a lot of people that were also like, it's satirical though, right? I mean, like.
No, there were black people there were a lot of people that were upset about him doing that period.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one didn't fly by and nobody said anything. Yeah. No, people were complaining and protesting about that one at the time. But you know, white people don't care because it's not them.
Right.
Hollywood only gives a shit when it affects their bottom line.
I've seen black performers in whiteface before, Kareem, and while I didn't find it that amusing, I let it go.
Yeah.
Well, we're not done with blackface yet. I'm sorry.
Contacted by a concerned community member.
This is the photo posted by assistant coach Richard Gist on Facebook that led Brown County Superintendent Laura Hammack to dismiss him Friday and recommend to the school board he be fired.
It was a sincere disconnect, and I'm so sorry that Brown County has been aligned with a post that was of this nature. And I just want the community to know that Brown County is a very, very special place, and that one post does not speak to who we are as a community.
Gist has been employed as an assistant track and football coach since last year. Hammack said she met with him and the district's athletic director Friday morning before making her decision. I spoke to Gist by phone. He told me he believes the photo has been taken out of context and that he was in costume with friends.
In approximately 2008 or 7 or thereabouts, on a Halloween, I dressed up as Bob Marley, a character that I admire, who spreads love, peace, and hope. And I dressed up as this person out of respect for him and what he believes, and not in the intent of offending anybody or insinuating that another race is superior to any other.
In addition to coaching, Gist was employed by a third-party company, Kelly Services, as a substitute teacher in all Brown County schools. He has also volunteer coached Little League, and Parks and Recreation Director Mark Shields told me he was surprised by the Facebook post.
I can't see there being any sort of racism or anything that he would portray. So I think he's been a really good guy and really helped out our department in the past.
Some parents, though, told us they agree with the superintendent's decision.
You can't be posting anything and everything. You've got to be very cautious of what you post. I mean, you've got to be...
Okay.
Did nobody learn nothing from Megyn Kelly?
I like that he referred to Bob Marley as a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Marley's not a character.
Yeah, that's like as soon as he's like, come on, man.
And again, you can dress up. You don't have to put on blackface.
No, you could have done a wig with the dreads.
Yes.
Yeah.
The proper hat.
And people would have known that you were Bob Marley.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you could talk like Bob Marley.
But man, it's just white by Bob Marley, you know?
Yes. No, people would have known that that's what you're shooting for.
Oh, man.
His blackface was way too brown, too. He got the wrong shoe polish if he was going to do it. So he didn't even do that well.
But you know, the shoe polish, you can't put but a little bit on because it's hard to come off.
I am completely unaware of that. Thankfully.
That's what the Virginia governor said. That's what he said during the press conference.
You have to know that to light it on fire first. You got to burn it a little bit.
Oh, man.
All right. So there's that.
The thing is, he only had brown shoes. He didn't have any black shoes.
So this guy lost his job. Are we done?
No.
No.
Because we haven't talked about my favorite one yet.
Oh, hold on. It's muted.
Last Thursday at Victory Christian School in what? A local school under fire for allowing blackface in the classroom. It happened last Thursday at Victory Christian School in Carmichael. Superintendent John Huffman says an elementary chapel speaker dressed up as a Central African Native woman to portray missionary David Livingstone and his work in late 19th century Africa. He says the speaker intended to resemble the character in appearance, telling Fox 40 in a statement that the decision was made, quote, in an effort to bring authenticity to her role. She wore a typical Native dress and headdress. She also used makeup to darken her skin tone on her arms, shoulders, and face. But the choice to use blackface in a school environment is sparking outrage among some students and parents. So much so that the superintendent sent out an email to families the very same day apologizing for the poor judgment call, writing in part, this presentation was in no way meant to be hurtful or disrespectful. I ask forgiveness from those who have been hurt by this. Huffman elaborating further to Fox 40, telling us in a statement, quote, I was wrong to allow the use of makeup, no matter how innocent the intentions, as it has offended some of my students and parents. I should have anticipated that this could be offensive, and I apologize to my students and parents, asking to be forgiven for hurting them.
You're a fucking teacher.
No, superintendent.
You're fucking, you have a college degree. You are teaching kids.
Not necessarily.
You.
This is a Christian school.
Oh my God.
No, I mean, they don't, you don't have to have a teacher credential.
It's true.
That's true.
But
you're supposed to be a fucking educator.
No.
You should be
at a Christian school.
I just want to remind everybody, it's Black History Month.
Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly got fired for this shit.
Yeah, but
she makes more money, made more money than all of you motherfuckers put together.
Right, and she got paid out.
You should know better.
Oh, yeah, if you don't know better at this point.
You deserve to be fired.
Yeah.
The superintendent who approved it.
He deserves to be fired.
Exactly.
They all need to be fired.
Megyn Kelly, we just went through this with Megyn Kelly in 2018, where it became a big story. It wasn't a small conversation. It wasn't something that happened and just got glossed over. It was something that actually got her fired.
Mm-hmm.
You should have fucking learned from that. And quote, one of my favorite quotes is, only an ignorant person cannot learn from other people's mistakes.
It's true.
Yeah, there's really no way to feign ignorance on this one. I didn't know it was a this was an homage. By the way, here's a hint. If you want someone to accurately portray someone in that situation, maybe find an African American lady.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If that's your objective.
Hey, and you're a Christian school, you probably have you probably proselytized to people from Africa. You could have found an actual African probably in your cult to come to school.
Well, and the other thing too is that, like, she's representing the like doctor, like, I don't know, man. Like, just the teaching of Dr. Livingstone in the first place, like, I don't know, man. Like, why is she portraying the black person in the event of Dr. Like,
if why aren't you Dr. Livingston?
Yeah, that's, well, he's a colonizer.
That's it. Fucking colonizers.
That's what it is. Church, man.
All right, now let's talk about Liam Neeson. So Liam Neeson has a new movie coming out, or does he, called Cold Pursuit. And earlier today, as we record this, the red carpet for the New York premiere was canceled.
That sucks.
I don't even know where to begin with this. If you haven't heard, Liam Neeson was giving an interview with one of his co-stars of Cold Pursuit, and he volunteered this story when they asked him about the revenge factor of the movie, because it's a revenge movie. And he, for whatever reason, brought up a story that years ago, after finding out a friend had been raped, that he would hit the streets hoping for any run-in with any black man so he could kill him. Now, that's the LA Times story I'm seeing right here. I had read it before that he was looking for an old black guy.
So
is that any black man is an old black guy? I don't know. Not that, would it be okay if he were just hitting the streets looking for a guy?
Yeah.
It would, no. And it wouldn't be okay that either. So, I actually watched a whole interview or enough of it to see what he was getting at.
Sure.
So they asked him about his process when he goes for a role like this. And he said he draws on that experience. His friend told him that she had been raped, and he said, what did the guy look like? Mm-hmm. And she said it was a black guy.
Sure.
You now have a daughter. I have one. And if somebody did something to her, that's probably the state of mind I would be in for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And if he had just said that and stopped at that, then me and Leon needs to have a problem. But he said he did it, and then he got to a place where he realized what a dark place he was in that process, in that it made him reevaluate himself and his feelings on racism and whatnot. And so he sought therapy for it, and he worked, you know, he worked on it. He didn't say I did it and I stayed. This was, you know, this is my state of mind now. Mm-hmm. I didn't do anything to correct it. I just stayed there. Like, no, he actually made an effort to do something to change.
Yeah. The real story is Liam Neeson realized he was being racist, said, well, shit, this is bad. Did something to get to the root of it and deal with it so that he could not be racist anymore.
Exactly.
Is that not the goal?
That's the goal.
That is the fucking goal.
He should be held up as a shining example.
That is the fucking goal. People are, everybody, people want to be, there are certain people that just want to be victims.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, you know, I've had this conversation with several people over the last couple of weeks with all of this shit, a lot of this shit that's going on. People just want to be mad.
Yeah.
You don't really want a solution to anything. You just want to be able to be mad about bullshit. Well, and it's not necessarily bullshit, but you want to just be able to be mad about whatever.
Right.
If we're going to get past race and racism, if we're going to have real conversations about race and racism, white people have to be able to say, hey, this is the way I felt or feel, and then be able to work through it. Like, it has to happen
mm-hmm.
in order for us as a society to get past it. And, I've said this on a number of occasions to my black friends, black people. We're not going anywhere. There's not going to be a Blackistan.
You're not going back to Africa?
We're not going back to Africa.
Okay.
White people aren't going anywhere.
Breaking news.
White people aren't going anywhere. As much as Donald Trump wants to build a wall, Mexican people aren't going anywhere. Asian people aren't going anywhere. We are in this shit to fucking together.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, we're going to all have to sit the fuck down and figure this shit out. And that means having conversations that are difficult conversations where you're going to have to hear some shit that you don't want to hear. But if that person is making an honest effort to get past or understand, we have to have an understanding. With South Africa, they had truth and reconciliation councils,
right?
Where you could sit down and say, okay, this is the shit that happened. And that's really because what has to happen. And that's really the thing that black people complain about the most is nobody's telling the truth. Nobody's being honest. But, you know, you have a situation here where he was actually fucking honest. And then, oh, well, no, he was honest. He told you the truth. And he worked on it. Get the fuck over it.
Yeah. And go see Cold Pursuit.
I'm going to go see Cold Pursuit. I don't give a fuck what nobody says.
It looks amazing.
It does.
It looks absolutely amazing. So I get why they canceled the red carpet, because people are mad.
Yes.
And, you know, whatevs. Jason, how do you feel about it?
I feel that we live in a cycle of outrage, you know, where you don't get the full truth of anything and or the whole story of anything unless you seek it out for yourself. And luckily, Kareem's one of those people that does that. You know, because I heard it and I just I read some books on Ireland and IRA and what was going on there in the, like, since the Troubles. You know, I've read about the Troubles pretty extensively because I'm Irish and I wanted to know about that thing. So I know what type of place that was and what you had to, like, go through, especially Northern Ireland and whatnot. So anyhow, I knew that I couldn't be hearing the whole story.
Yeah.
I knew that I wasn't hearing the whole story because I know that that guy, like, a guy that's been through that type of shit and, like, got seen, like, there's something that allows, I don't know. There's still plenty of racist Irish people, I'm sure. But I couldn't see him just saying something that was overtly, like, I wanted to kill some black people. Like, I wanted to kill a black guy and have that be the whole story. So I didn't make any snap judgments.
Yeah, he was on Good Morning America Tuesday morning to reiterate that this was a long time ago. He hadn't had those feelings before. And that he's not racist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except it's... Everybody wants to be outraged by everything, but nobody really wants a solution. Because if we find a solution, guess what? You can't be a victim anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't. There's a section of the black community that does not know what to do without their victimhood.
That is a bold statement.
Yes, I'm making it.
No, I'm.
Yeah.
And I salute you. I'm not going to make it.
Yes, there it is.
I'm not doubting you either. Yeah.
It is. I don't. If I'm not a victim, then what am I? That's the thing.
Right. It's their identity.
It's their identity. I've said this before. I'm gonna say it again. I have been through a bunch of shit. I am nobody's victim. You name it, I've probably been through it, dealt with it, but I am nobody's victim. I've had racist shit happen. I've dealt with some racism. I am nobody's victim. And I've dealt with enough people to know that not all white people are racist. A lot of them are just assholes.
That's true.
But guess what? There are a lot of black people that are assholes that I don't want to fuck with either.
That's true as well.
There's some Mexican assholes. There's some Asian assholes. Most of them are bad drivers. And I keep trying to not want to have that racist stereotype every day, and they keep proving me the fuck wrong.
Well, the fun thing to do is when I'm riding with my wife and she's getting angry at other terrible drivers, I'll glance over and she's like, "What are you looking at?" And I go, "I'm just making sure it's a lady." I only say that if it is.
Yeah.
I hate when you see things and, like, it fulfills the stereotype. And I saw it today.
I don't. It makes me feel a little warm inside.
I don't know, man. It makes me feel sad because it's like, maybe these people are right. You know?
Well, no, what it does is it makes me feel like they are not baseless.
Yeah.
It's not that these people are right in being racist and saying and doing whatever. It's the fact that it's based in a nugget of truth. And so therefore it's truth to them. And once you understand that, it's a little easier to go, okay, I see where you're coming from, and then work on it.
Yeah.
Because until you acknowledge that there's some truth to it, They're never going to, like, you're challenging their entire worldview if you do that. Because every time they've had an incident like that with a terrible driver, if they happen to have been Asian, that's their worldview. And you're not going to talk them out of that worldview.
Yeah. Like I said, I'd look at them every time like, please don't be Asian. Please don't be Asian. God damn it.
You know, and it really depends on where you're driving, because when I used to work at Fox 40, it was usually a black gentleman, a little bit older.
They are bad too.
And they are never, and I get it. I really do. They're always about 4 miles an hour under the speed limit.
Yep.
They're always in one of the two middle lanes.
Yep.
So they're not in the fast lane. They're not in the slow lane. And they're going about 4 to 5 miles an hour under the speed limit because they, and I get it, They don't want a cop to have any excuse to pull them over.
And they're either in a nice car or a truck.
Oh, no. Those are terrible cars. Going to South Sac?
Oh, yeah. Well, South Sac, yeah. But I've seen some terrible. I've seen some up on my side that I know are ex-military, and I'm like, motherfucker, move.
True. You know who else? So Black History Month. Stop with the blackface, people.
You should know better by now.
And if it's happened in the distant past, here's what you do. Yeah, I'm really sorry. That was stupid. I should have never done that, and I never doing it again.
Yeah.
See how easy that is.
And as many white people as I've hung out with in the last 30 years, nobody has ever done blackface around me.
Well, no, we always wait till you're gone.
Right.
Yeah. I get you.
We actually had some on before you came. We were like practicing.
Yeah.
It's like, we have it. Like, we have to. I mean, like, you don't know that. This is a white guy. That's a white guy pack. Yeah.
No.
You got to do the black face.
I've been to a shitload of parties where it was me and one other black guy, or it was just me.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, no, that black guy, that other black guy was probably just a black face guy.
And they didn't even know that I was, and a lot of times they didn't know I was coming. So.
That's the thing is, like, when there was one other black guy, they forgot that they invited you. Oh, he's good. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to another oppressed group, a group that is misunderstood, mischaracterized, and treated terribly. That's right. Billionaires.
Oh.
Howard Schultz expounds.
The author of Winner Takes All sent in a question. And said, do you agree that billionaires have too much power in American public life? And it gets at the issue that AOC has been talking about. It gets at the issue that Elizabeth Warren's been talking about. It gets at,
yeah, the moniker billionaire now has become the catchphrase. I would rephrase that, and I would say that people of means have been able to leverage their wealth and their interest in ways that are unfair. And I think that speaks to the inequality. But it also directly speaks to the special interests that are paid for by people of wealth and corporations who are looking for influence. And they have such unbelievable influence on the politicians who are steeped in the ideology of both parties. And once again, I go back to this. If I should run for president, I am not in bed with any party. I am not in bed with any special interest. All I'm trying to do is one thing, walk in the shoes of the American people.
And make America great again.
Motherfucker, please.
AOC is asking nothing but to put the back, like, if you want to, like, let's go back to the 50s. That's all she's doing. Like, to say, like, that she's trying to do anything revolutionary is, like, a complete disavowment of what our fucking history is and was. Like, get the fuck out of here. Every single one of these fucking people, man. It just upsets me. And fuck all you fucking white fucking people that fucking think that you're going to be fucking billionaires one day and the 70% fucking tax would even fucking affect you. It's not going to. It's going to benefit you, you stupid motherfucking idiots. I'm fucking so sick and tired of this shit, man. I'm so fucking sick and tired of these fucking stupid white people, man.
All right.
Sorry. Like, you're never going to be a billionaire. You might be a millionaire, but probably not, you fucking idiot. You're a fucking idiot.
All right, it's time for a palate cleanser.
And wait a second. Howard and Schultz, go sit your stupid ass down. You, for somebody who's supposedly... be of the people, you are so fucking out of touch with what people want right now. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants another white man or white billionaire at all right now.
I don't know. If you were to watch the State of the Union, there was half of the crowd looked like they were down for that.
Yes, that group of people.
That group, they stood up and down so much. That's more of a workout than they've gotten in the past year and a half, the whole herd of them.
Yes. That's 35%. That's who wants that. And, well, I take that back, and we still got some fucking Bernie bros out there. And that motherfucker needs to go sit somewhere the fuck down, too. Fuck Bernie Sanders.
All right. Now it's time
palate cleanser.
Palate cleanser. A Texas woman, unencumbered by pants, was arrested for indecent exposure after she was spotted, vibrator in hand, masturbating in public. That's according to cops, who said she continued to pleasure herself while handcuffed in the rear of a police cruiser.
Oh, wow.
Ain't no stopping me. No. What am I looking at there, Kareem? It's a little small for me. It's a photo of, let's see. Oh, it's a sarcastic clap from Nancy Pelosi. I didn't say
you know, I saw a guy masturbating on J Street today.
Did you?
Yeah, across the street from Chicago Fire.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, like I saw his ass moving back and forth. I was like, what's that guy? I saw out of the corner of my eye. I was like, that guy's not masturbating. And then as I drove up past, I was like I was watching, like it was from behind, but like that guy was fucking kneeling masturbating.
So that's the difference between you and I, my friend. I would have spotted that and went, that guy's not masturbating, and I would have done everything to avoid looking at him again until I was well past.
No, I want, exactly. You know what? Honestly, like I thought to myself, is the thing that I should do here as a concerned citizen is pull the car over and tell this guy to get the fuck out of here, like to move along? Cause he keeps doing it like right at the entrance of somebody's business, like right like to the courtyard. Like I thought people's safety,
I said, I'm never going to Rick's Dessert Diner again.
This
one block from there.
I know. Austin police were summoned late last Tuesday to a downtown hotel, found Dovey Nichols, who's 26, sitting alone at a patio table across the street from the JW Marriott Austin. Upon approaching Nichols, the patrolman observed that she was not wearing any pants. Cops noted that she had been moving her arms in a circular motion under the table as if she was masturbating. That was before they confronted her. She was then arrested for indecent exposure and placed inside the squad car. And though handcuffed, she attempted to reach around to her vagina as if to pull something out.
Oh, wow.
A cop noted the vibrator referred to in 911 calls had not been located. So I believe that it was possibly still inside her vagina. Inside the cruiser, Nichols, quote, began to repeatedly rub her groin back and forth on the plastic seat, moaning. Even when asked to stop, Nichols continued to do so for the duration of our encounter.
Wow.
You go, girl. Further police investigation determined that before Nichols went to the patio at the restaurant, she had been masturbating inside a street-level patio at the Marriott, where a hotel manager recounted seeing Nichols with her legs straight up in the air, spread open, while she repeatedly penetrated her vagina with a silver object. She can be heard making moaning noises as if she was having an orgasm. The Marriott manager, who estimated that Nichols masturbated for 7 or 8 minutes, added that she, quote, yelled at him to stay back when he attempted to approach her. Stay back! I'm rubbing one out!
I got a weapon. I'm going to pull out my lifesaver.
Charged with indecent exposure, that's a misdemeanor. She was booked into the county jail, being held in lieu of $3,000 bail. Now, according to court records, she was convicted separately last year of trespass and resisting arrest. How's that for a palate cleanser?
Yummy.
All right, but it's not just the ladies. No.
Uh-oh.
An Arizona man was arrested for sending explicit messages and photos to a 16-year-old girl. Not okay. He was identified thanks to a distinctive fun-sized tattoo on his genitals. That's according to the police report.
Oh, wow.
What do you According to investigators, Joshua Hilliard, who's 28, sent nude photos to the teenager that he was mentoring through a local outreach program. That's not what they mean by outreach. However, Hilliard, who works as a welder and steel fabricator, kind of a weird choice for an advisor to juveniles, but okay. Court records show that he is currently being supervised himself by Arizona probation officials in connection with prior felony convictions in Montana and Wyoming. In 2009, convicted of burglary and theft in Montana. In 2015, convicted of methamphetamine possession in Wyoming. His sentences in both cases included a probation component that was transferred to Arizona when he moved. He was arrested last Thursday during a meeting with his probation officer, charged with providing harmful materials to a minor. That's a felony for which he has been booked into the county jail. Cops in Cottonwood said the victim initially told the safety officer at her high school she had received unsolicited photos and messages from him. One showed the words "fun size" tattooed on Hilliard's penis. That's right. He actually has the words "fun size" tattooed on his penis.
Alrighty.
I mean, then it's definitely not like, you know, candy fun size.
Now, when questioned by police, he admitted he knew the girl's age, but thought that Arizona's age of consent was 16, which he knew was the law in Montana. We need to get a national age of consent just to avoid any confusion by these guys.
Well, you know, they don't want to do that.
No, I know. Cops did not reveal whether they obtained a warrant to examine and possibly photograph the heavily tattooed Hilliard's private parts to confirm the ink. But, yeah, fun size. Right on the wiener.
Man, that would hurt, right? That would hurt.
Man, I got a tattoo on my chest and I sweat it through my shirt. That shit hurt. So yeah. I just can't even imagine.
Like get one on your wiener, right?
Oh, dude, no.
Like, and do they stretch it out and then put it on?
I don't even know.
Do they get it hard and then put it on?
I don't even want to think
about it. Do they get it semi-flaccid?
We got a bleeder.
Like, and that too. Or was it maybe some type of dye that they just dyed it into the skin?
I'm telling you, getting it on your chest is... No, yeah. Shit.
Well, I got mine on my arm. I mean, that was not a big deal.
Yeah, I almost slept through that one. But this chest, shit through here,
where there's bone close to the skin.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, no, that shit hurt.
Your
yeah.
bone, I don't know. Yeah. Unclear.
My bone. How about your bone?
Hey, bad news for our friend Alex Jones. Facebook has now removed 22 more pages tied to the conspiracy theorist.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. They now have a new recidivism policy that stops individuals that already violated Facebook's rules from doing so on a new set of pages. So Facebook's looking out. Sorry, Alex Jones. Wah, 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 wah.
Florida, land of enchantment and crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do it. Let's do it.
I love the headline. Off the beat, hair weave hullabaloo prompts police response.
Oh, no.
An apparent hullabaloo over a hair weave led to harsh language and a trip to jail. That's according to an arrest affidavit. Sanperia Mack, who's 29, was arrested back in January by Port St. Lucie police on two counts of battery. Police went to an undisclosed address for a disturbance and reported encountering Mac screaming and yelling in the front yard. Her mother told investigators she came home and began arguing with her sister. Sanperia got mad because she thought her sister put weave in her daughter's hair. Mother said she told Mac she put the weave in because she grew tired of the hair's appearance.
That sounds about right.
According to hairextensions.com, a weave is a type of extension method... This could be small town news, where hair wefts are sewn into braided hair and styled into any desired style.
What white person decided that they need to explain that shit?
No. They needed to explain it to white people.
No, white women get a weave too.
Yeah, they do.
Yes. I used to run a spa, a salon.
My sister does that.
They just call them extensions, though. Yeah. They don't call it a weave. Yeah. I think that's the confusion. So, meanwhile, the mother said Mac used foul language and derogatory terms. I'll beat yo foul language derogatory term, is quoted as saying. The mother said Mac sized up her sister and began swinging. Sized up is in quotes. Mac is accused of striking her mother and sister about the weave in her daughter's hair. Mac's sister told police she was braiding her niece's hair when Mac came home and started arguing. Police then tried to speak with Mac again, and she said, "Don't ask me foul language else."
Don't ask me shit else.
So, yeah.
That's what she said.
Fun times.
So her mom and her daughter take care of the sister in a goddamn way. The kid in any way.
Yeah. Meanwhile, in Florida, Florida College is now apologizing after sending out 430 acceptance letters to students who were not actually accepted into the school.
Oh, damn.
Oh, man.
The University of South Florida, St. Petersburg, sent the prospective students an email saying they had been admitted for the fall semester, only to rescind the acceptance in an email a short time later. The second email said, "There was an error in the system. Please disregard the previous email."
Wow.
The school's chancellor, Martin Tadlock, said the mistake was caused by human error and vowed to ensure it doesn't happen again. According to the Tampa Bay Times, an employee used the spreadsheet they believed contained only information on students who had been accepted to send out the emails, but it turned out it also contained a list of students who were not accepted. "As soon as we found out about the situation, we immediately reviewed our process for communicating with prospective students and have changed our procedure to prevent this from happening again." It's according to the school's statement. Now, the school is reaching out to impacted students to discuss possible pathways for admission. Because they use a rolling admission system, some of the students could be accepted at a later date. Tadlock said, "We regret it. We pride ourselves in our relationship with the community, and this doesn't represent that. It was an error and a mistake, and you, sir, are redundant." And finally, in Florida, this is another fun one. A Florida man is behind bars after stealing what he thought were hydrocodone pills, but which actually turned out to be over-the-counter laxatives.
Oh, man.
Cops allege that Peter Hans Emery, 56, took pills from a lockbox at the victim's Pinellas Park home. The complaint lists Emery's home address as the site of the theft itself. His relationship with the 49-year-old victim is unknown. Emery, cops say, was recorded by a video camera entering the victim's lockbox and in selecting a pill bottle, pouring the pills into his hand and then leaving. The pill container was labeled hydrocodone acetaminophen. However, Emery subsequently discovered that he had not swiped painkillers. No, no. The pill bottle actually contained dosages of Equate Gentle Laxative, which promises predictable overnight relief from constipation. When the cops caught up with Emery, he reported admitted taking the pills because he thought they were hydrocodone, but he threw them away when he learned they were something else. He was booked on a felony charge since his rap sheet includes two prior theft convictions, also facing probation violations since he's in the midst of serving a two-year supervision term related to the conviction last year for theft and illegal possession of another painkiller. He is a habitual offender. He's served a combined 28 months in state prison and has a rap sheet brimming with arrests for offenses like burglary, cocaine possession, forgery, grand theft, resisting arrest, auto theft, and failure to appear in court. And that's what's been going on in Florida.
I just got to say, like, when that question, like, when you find out that they're laxatives, and then the cops come and ask you about it, your answer isn't, "Yeah, I took them because I thought they were hydrocodone pills." That is not your fucking answer. Well, your answer is, "No, I knew they were laxatives. I've been having a hard time taking a shit."
Right.
That's your fucking answer.
Yeah.
Because you got nothing on you then.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot. I mean, obviously, but that's the appropriate answer to the situation.
It's like drug addicts don't think clearly.
Ones that aren't good.
All right. One more thing before we get to small town news. You know how everybody's complaining Amazon doesn't pay its people. Amazon doesn't pay its people. Amazon doesn't pay its people. Well, they're paying Mindy Kaling $13 million for a new show.
Why?
Well, I don't know. It's called Late Night, a buzzy comedy about diversity in a late night talk show writer's room that's written, produced by, and stars Mindy Kaling. It is the first major sale out of the Sundance Film Festival.
Why?
It co-stars Emma Thompson as a prickly comic who begrudgingly takes an Indian American writer. That would be Mindy, under her wing after she is shamed into hiring more women and minorities.
Why?
Because Mindy's funny, man. Like, you know, so like Chris and I started watching The Office again, right? Do you know who the two people that like are featured the most prominent as far as writers for that show in the first two, three seasons? Mindy Kaling and BJ Novak. I had no idea that BJ Novak was so influential, or her. I had no idea that the two of them were such huge writers. So, I mean, she's already written two huge shows. So, I mean, good for her, man.
$13 million.
$13 million.
So next
proven,
time,
proven.
Next time Amazon, somebody tells you Amazon don't pay people because they paid Mindy $13 million.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Schumer did a movie. That's all I'll say. That'll be my end to that.
Wow.
I just write you lost. You like that too. Never mind.
I didn't watch it. Anyway.
Wow. All right. Well, let's wrap this thing up.
Leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All right. Marilyn Haggerty writes about winter. Hold on. I have to answer questions to continue reading. Overall, how much do you trust Google search? Completely, a lot, moderately, slightly, or not at all?
Completely. Right? I mean, because it all comes down to your search. Your question.
I'm going completely.
Yeah.
It always gives me the best porn that I'm looking for.
Right? Safe filter off. Incognito.
Mm-hmm. Marilyn writes, actually, winter is getting to be a trial. The icy streets and walks, the wind, the darkness, the flu, the colds. Even some optimists among us are beginning to growl. Only the strong of heart, the brave of soul, still enjoy January. For the rest of us, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There's a Fight the Frost event coming up the first weekend of February at the Alaris Center. The Chamber of Commerce is welcoming Josh Brown as the new board chair. That's at the dinner Thursday. And they're getting ready for the annual Sweetheart Dinner on February 9th at the Episcopalian Church. Meanwhile, the people of Grand Forks don't worry about mosquitoes in January. They seem happy to pay the monthly control fee of $3 per unit to take care of those pesky little creatures when summer rolls around. And it always does. People of Grand Forks don't worry in January about cockroaches. Gone are the mosquitoes, the bees, the flies. They can keep that on the list of reasons for living in a cold climate. So during these days in January, it seems good to talk to the Red River. The river takes the cold winter in stride. It just sleeps under the ice. There was a time when hordes of men came down the river in January. They would cut ice in squares and pile it on trucks. They would store the ice for use in the summer in the days before widespread refrigeration. Right?
Nice.
It's true. It is nice. It's very nice. We're not done.
We're not?
No. There's
no, we're changing the music?
Hold on a second.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. We'll get to it. And I'm just thinking. Mm-hmm. I just need to do something here. Give me a break. On days in January, it takes time to find people who smile and say they like winter. One of those who enjoys the peaceful quiet is Ron Spale. See, he farms between Minto and Grafton, where he and his wife Julie live during the growing season. In winter, they live in Grand Forks. For a farmer, he says, winter is relaxing. A downtime. He could attend meetings, catch up on farm news, and he finds there are so many things to do here in Grand Forks. For me, he says, winter flies by. So on the waning days of January, there are lessons to be learned from a farmer. Life would be boring without changing seasons. The cold is invigorating. Without it, we would not enjoy the eventual slow, sure arrival of spring. There's a feeling of peace in the winter.
Peace, I say.
All right. As someone who grew up in a cold climate, let me rebut this. Fuck you. Give me a temperate climate, I don't care. And we have a change of seasons here. The leaves even change colors.
Yes.
It's a little different all the time. That doesn't mean it has to be so cold that my balls seek refuge in my body cavity. Who needs that? Not I. I don't know if Marilyn survived the polar vortex. Unclear. I haven't checked back in on her.
Well, she'll be fine.
Yeah, 60 below wind chills. Yeah, not a problem. Bring it on. Enjoy it. Smile.
She'll be fine.
Remember, there's no mosquitoes when it's 50 below.
No. Nope. You know what else? It's like you don't really get sick either.
Ah!
You're not really a flu and cold season.
Yeah, no, it doesn't exist. I mean, you could get it anytime, but that's pretty much it. So that'll do it for us for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thanks for hanging with us and listening. Appreciate your company. We'll be back on Friday with another fresh new show for you. Morning Crunch Wrap every weekday. Go ahead and subscribe to that on Apple Podcasts if you would. Give it a review and a rating. That would be nice as well. Help things out. And, of course, your shopping, Amazon. The Shop Amazon tab and the Shop Target tab at NateDarlingShow.com. Do not cost you anything extra. Help support the show, and we do appreciate it. Any last words, Kareem?
No, say no to blackface.
Jason?
Yes, just say no to blackface.
Happy Black History Month, everybody. We'll see you in a couple days. Bye-bye. Thank you.